is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tennessee Talks. It's I'm Congressman Tim Burchett, and I appreciate y'all joining me here. We've been in the middle of what's called August recess, or as the people in the office and the folks around East Tennessee like to call it, the Tennessee Tim Burchett's birth month. I celebrated my 60th birthday. I'm not really sure how that happened so fast, but it's here. And I do want to remind folks, Gloria Vanderbilt says it's still appropriate to give gifts into the following month. So I understand there's no rush right now. And we're registered at all your major establishments. Just kidding. Don't want anything. I got plenty. I have been traveling around the district, though, all over East Tennessee and actually in some of Middle Tennessee. I was asked to speak at several events during this month. I met with folks from a bunch of different industries. Folks in the construction aggregate industry, they make rocks basically for roadways and construction. I've been to several surgery centers, I've been to a bunch of local high schools that are in the district, and folks, of course, in the transportation industry since I serve on the transportation committee. But it's been great to be out of D.C. I can't tell you how miserable that place is, and we've made it that way, and we can do so much better. But I always get more work done when I'm home. I tell people I go to Washington to catch up on my sleep, and I come home to work. But unfortunately, we left a lot of things unfinished in D.C. We were sent home at the end of July. The major thing we're supposed to do is pass the government funding bill when we go back on September 9th. You know, constitutionally, we're required really to do one thing, and that's to pass a budget. And we haven't done that in something like 30 years. And they say, well, why not? We pass what's called a CR, or a continued resolution. It just continues the spending on bad programs and bad policies. Some of them, actually, we found out, have gone out of business, but the money still goes somewhere, into some dark hole somewhere. And I think there's some corruption in there if we would look into it enough. But you ask yourself, why don't we, Burchett, why don't we have a budget? Well, the main reason is because we don't want a lot of the big boys and big girls. Big boys is kind of a generic term, but they don't want to have to defend crazy proposals that they've gotten funded in their district. And that is just plain wrong. Both parties are guilty of that. Hopefully one day we'll call them out on it, but it doesn't like it's going to, it won't happen this year. We've got to pass a spending bill by September 30th or else the government shuts down. And we're supposed to pass 12 different appropriations bills each year to fund our government agencies. And so far, none have been passed into law. They haven't both passed the House and the Senate. And of course, they tell us it's not possible to pass all 12 bills individually by the end of September. If it was my mama's house or Kelly Burchett's house, I'd say they could probably get it done because they'd work it out and figure out how to do it. But that's not the case. We only have 13 legislative days left until the end of the fiscal year. And of course, that means that we'll probably pass another CR, which just extends current funding until a later date. It's really just a cop-out. We're quick to throw around these analogies, but that's all it really is. It's foregoing our sworn duty, and that's really a shame. As I stated, both parties seem to be guilty of it. And of course, leadership always tries to do something to encourage us, and this time it actually has something that has some merit, what's called the SAVE Act. Everything has an act. You know, there's an acronym. I think they just pay people just to come up with these clever or really not so clever acronyms. I wish they'd just call them what they are. And they want to attach it to a short-term spending bill that would go till March. What the SAVE Act does, it requires a proof of citizenship in order to register to vote in a federal election. Photo ID, something like that. You know, you buy a firearm. There's a background check. There's all this stuff. You go buy liquor, you got to show an ID, allegedly. You go to the airport, I know I fly a lot, I have to show IDs going in and out multiple times. yet for some reason the Democrats don't want us to have that, and I think it's pretty obvious why, because they know they'll be getting folks to vote that are not citizens, and they'll try to throw the race card down, but that's bogus. Because anybody, as I stated, that's an adult that has to go into a liquor store, cashes a check, or what have you, still have to show an ID. And I think that's a bogus argument. And specifically, it really just prohibits the states from accepting an application to register to vote unless the applicant presents documentary proof of U.S. citizenship. And as I stated, the Democrats hate the idea of doing this, and they hate the idea, of course, shutting down the government. And what that entails, the legacy media, if you will, the big boys, they'll put out how horrible it is and how it's going to hurt folks. And the reality is it doesn't cut welfare off, and by law, no one can lose their house because of it. And everybody's made whole when they reopen government. So it's the whole thing's kind of bogus, but they'll play it up. And of course, it's running into an election year, and everybody's weighing that over what they should be doing, which is their jobs, which Washington, D.C. has a hard time doing. And as stated, and they also love the idea of illegal immigrants voting. There's no other reason for this. It's to steal elections, and they're being called on the carpet in a lot of areas, but in some areas they just don't care because it keeps their program. People apparently don't vote for people, they vote for programs, and they want to continue the cash cow. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the end of it, because everybody will be pontificating in their respective caucuses or conferences, as they call them, and you'll hear the speeches on the floor, and everybody will rise up in righteous indignation, and probably nothing will amount to it. We'll run down to the line, and then if we pass this with the SAVE Act, it'll go to the Senate. And of course, Schumer won't bring it up, and the legacy media will talk about how great Schumer is of trying to keep the Republicans from shutting down government. And the reality is just the exact opposite. Something else that really went on that's really big was it marked the 3-year anniversary since that disastrous, horrible withdrawal from Afghanistan. 13 brave service members lost their lives. One of them was our own Knox County, and from out there in Corrington, where I live, actually, Staff Sergeant Ryan Canals. Every day I drive out on the road there on Emory Road, and it's named after him, memorializes him. He died. He did not need to die. Those 13 brave Americans did not need to die, and multiple others were wounded, and Afghans were slaughtered as well. The Marine sniper, dadgummit, he had the suicide bomber in his sights. He was identified. They knew what he was carrying. They knew, the vehicle that he drove up in. And our State Department, our military intelligence, I like to say military intelligence is a whole lot like congressional ethics. It just doesn't exist in most cases. They called him off. They waved him off on shooting this guy more than once, and they could have taken him out, and those 13 Americans would be alive right now. And, of course, you all know the rest of it. We left over $7 billion worth of equipment. Of course, now it's being sold on the black market, and it'll be used to kill more Americans. And this administration completely bungled this thing, and there's no excuse. And, of course, the media, again, is giving them a free ride, and nobody's really going to be held account. We'll have hearings, and we've had hearings, and we'll talk about it. But it's like Benghazi; it'll go away eventually too. I always used to say Americans want their pizzas in 30 minutes or less, and that's about our dadgum attention span. And I'm guilty of that as well. But some of these things, we need answers, and we need answers for the families. I think that's important. Of course, now Afghanistan's become a safe haven for terrorists again. They're selling these arms, and they're causing mischief all over the world. And on September 9th, the Foreign Affairs Committee, we released our report on the findings of the 3-year investigation into withdrawal. You know, it's kind of pathetic that it takes us that long to get something just because of government officials drag their heels and because we allow them to do that. We don't have the guts, either party, to cut their money off, because that's what it's got to take. Congress is supposed to be the pocketbook of this government, and we don't have the guts to do anything to hold these folks accountable, and we should. We should have shut them down a long time ago, some of these agencies. But we'll release that, and there'll be a little bit of press about it, and it'll be marked off, except for those wonderful families who lost their loved ones. And we'll have a call on it, I think, Friday to talk more about it, and so I'll be able to talk more about that soon. And that pretty much wraps up what's been going on in the district and what I've been doing. It's a pleasure representing y'all in Congress. And this, I guess, concludes another episode of Tennessee Talks. But I had one cool thing happened to me this week. A lot of cool things happened. Actually, it was last week. But as y'all know, I talk about my mom and daddy a lot. Mama flew an airplane in the Second World War. I think her picture's up here.
One of those.
Yeah, there it is right there with her airplane. But my daddy fought the Japanese in the Pacific, and after the Second World War, he went to China for a short while. They were fighting the communists over there, escorting some of Chiang Kai-shek's folks there, because the communists were raising Cain. And anyway, we ended up letting the communists take over, which has caused us in this world a lot of problems since then. But my dad, after the war, as I stated, went to China, and his buddy Red Welch was his number one buddy. Red, daddy was very handy with a Thompson submachine gun, and Red was the guy. They were called combat engineers, and they would blow these caves in what they called pillboxes. And it was unlike the movies. If you saw that movie or that TV series Pacific, where E.B. Sledge wrote a book about with the old breed at Peleliu in Okinawa. Well, Sledge was a buddy of my dad's, and after the war, they were real good friends. And but anyway, and it showed a lot of the combat situations, and that was Dad's job, was to take that to man his buddy while he had to lay his arm down, his guns down, to go throw this five or 10 pounds of TNT into these caves where the Japanese were, and they were shooting at him. So, but anyway, Red's son sent me this letter and said that he'd found this picture of my dad, and it was, it says, our fathers served together in the Pacific during World War II and in the Chinese occupation after, and they were buddies ever since then. And he talked about his father dying. But anyway, he sent this picture of his dad and my dad and another fella, and that's my dad there on the left. That's Red on the right, and he sent that to me. I thought that was pretty cool. That was kind of caught me off guard, and I remember hearing my dad talk about that, the occupation of China and stuff and what was going on, and I just thought I'd share that with y'all, because that's kind of a cool thing to get a reminder of your father, especially mine, who was extra cool, him and my mama both. But anyway, that concludes another episode of Tennessee Talks. Thank y'all so much for sending me here, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.